Hello. Thank you for listening to this week's episode. Please take the time to contribute anything you have, whether it just be a comment on the show, an idea for a piece, sharing a story, or contributing a piece for a coming episode. This podcast is our collaborative puzzle board, and the more pieces we have, the more complete the picture. This moment right now would not be so without the full culmination of all moments before it, stretching back to the point where time ceases to be. Breaking things down into defined categories is very useful for the human brain to understand the world. It is equally as useful to remind yourself that these categories are not static. They are not absolute truths, and they should always be thought about, in case they no longer apply. Many people resort to circular logic when discussing issues of legality. The law is not a moral compass nor an objective truth. The law is a set of rules that have been put together and mixed around and changed over many hundreds of years, primarily to facilitate trade in society and cohesive social structures. But it has also been manipulated by those with power or wealth at times as a means to an end. For you and I, the law seems quite inaccessible. To access good lawyers and to question laws, we need either wealth or power, and preferably both. With a growing divide between people with this and people without, many people will not be able to access the law even if they feel that something is unjust. This is not to say that our legal framework only works for those with wealth and power. This would quickly erode the confidence in the state, and therefore the confidence in the legal system. However, if, for example, you feel frustrated by what seem like small injustices every now and then, perhaps something like small civil penalties that many of us are all too familiar with, or the legal status of certain plants, fungi, and chemicals, then you may soon see what I mean when I call the law inaccessible. Of course, all things of human interaction are either exercises in metalogistics or exercises in making vast assumptions. So it is sort of inevitable that we end up at these places. That aside, remember this: whenever someone justifies their insistent desire to change your mind on what you want to do, or justifies their vitriol and lecturing against you with the reasoning that something is against the law, if you are not an idiot, if you think critically and are willing to listen to other people who also think critically and accept reason and logic, then you're in a far better position than those that choose to uphold something they don't understand merely because it resides in some imaginary territory they consider to be more righteous than they could ever comprehend. Welcome to In Psychedelia, our collaborative discussion. This week, we have tracks from Wildcard and Slinky. We'll be following up last week's ayahuasca fear hunt with some actual science reporting, taking a quick look at Australia's drug laws, and chatting with someone about these laws from an everyday perception. First up, the Squid Squad with Meditate.
Now, I don't bother rhyming over your head, because that's as useful as a warning shot to the already dead. I'm calling instead in layman ways to make my thoughts penetrate. Hopefully one day you may investigate ideas I contemplate. Instigating information through demonstration, that's a glorious vocation, not an assimilation. But similar I be to those that have come before and help set me free. I desire me, myself and I to ever rise. My third eye's never blind, but it gets dirty sometimes. So I make it squeaky clean with a squeegee and a dream. Imagination is always more than it seems. It's pre-reality, all science is fiction. I wonder what rug burn was before they called it friction. My diction, scary to those who roam in fear. And my dictionary helps me guide and steer my ideas. And there are worms you can all get near, but try to grasp them in your hand and they'll disappear. Cause they're thinner than air, not from this plane. The immaterial is where my ideas reign. This domain, material, obsessed with the physical. It's almost deemed a crime to even mention the spiritual. I'm far from a criminal. My choices are pivotal, and I never use subliminal messages. That shit is criminal in the advertising sense. Some skulls are dense, doesn't leave enough room for the brain.
trying to comprehend how the body's bending over and copying it in the rear end. If you don't know your enemy, how can you defend? So I blend consciousness, philosophy, hip-hop and poetry, Socrates, the Odyssey, you know it's me. Yeah, I can see you, and hopefully in time you'll find these words ring true. So prove me wrong and I'll admit you're right, that I don't think truth has yet seen the light. So why relax the body, begin to contemplate? So won't you all join me, come on, let's meditate, man. Prove me wrong and I'll admit you're right, that I don't think truth has yet seen the light. So why relax the body, begin to contemplate? So won't you all join me, come on, let's meditate, man. Kind of mystical practice. It's being in the moment, receiving, reacting, retracting yourself from the world at large, taking the time to see the beauty of a faraway star. You see, I spar with my ego every day, but it's no longer a fight now, it's more like a play. I rewrite the script and edit it with abandon. Don't fret over my actions if I never planned. And I improvise using my eyes and my ears, in fact, all my senses, even the one right here. My intuition guides me better than any teacher. No longer do I fear being labeled a preacher. The only people that need fear, one of those easily swayed, I pray. Not because I was raised that way. I navigate around obstacles, curious of what's improbable, cause the best things in life are those that seem impossible. So prove me wrong and I'll admit you're right, but I don't think truth has yet seen the light. So why relax the body, begin to contemplate? So won't you all join me, come on, let's meditate, man. Prove me wrong and I'll admit you're right, but I don't think truth has yet seen the light. So why relax the body, begin to contemplate? So won't you all join me, come on, let's meditate.
This is just another catalyst, common as cattle shit in the paddock is historically repeated, still it usually rattles kids. Mundane work days, pain schemes that are beige on a blank page that calls out in a bland voice, hey, come write, come draw, come paste up your sticker, come quicker than a cheetah, firecracker, blender, mixer, throw it all in, a moment's not to be lost. Never mind time, who made clocks, the boss, give a toss. A catalyst cause a revelation, which may or may not be analogous to masturbation. No mind, no self, just strong ejaculation. Monastery, menagerie, the end of meditation. We call again upon our friends, forget the journey that we tread. The road is long, so into bed we go and rock our muddled heads. In aftershocks, in every book you ever read, the story has a twist. Something's got a shift, it's just another catalyst.
Prove me wrong and I'll admit you're right, but I don't think truth has yet seen the light. So I relax the body, begin to contemplate. So won't you all join me, come on, let's meditate. Prove me wrong and I'll admit you're right, but I don't think truth has yet seen the light. So I relax the body, begin to contemplate. So won't you all join me, come on, let's meditate. Prove me wrong and I'll admit you're right, but I don't think truth has yet seen the light. So I relax the body, begin to contemplate. So won't you all join me, come on, let's meditate. on a day like this. Drown in the tenderness of your kiss. Got a quick tongue, whips like a snake's hiss. You're the bullseye and I will not miss. Grab your attention, whittle away at the apprehension. Open up new doors of perception. MC Link will make a true connection. Meet you halfway, bro. Mix up the style like Jin Kudo. We cultivate and grow the beat to motivate and overheat. Cause when it's well cooked, I like the taste of a little bit of drum, little bit of bass. And my mind makes the case for astral traveling outer space.
In episode 1, we had a listen to a Channel 7 news report linking ayahuasca to brain damage in an abysmal attempt at journalism. You might remember a doctor, unqualified to make this claim, making this claim.
Hallucinogens, you've just surrendered control of your brain and you may also be leading to permanent brain damage.
The Dutch Foundation for Interdisciplinary Research into Psychedelics, OPIN, released a study this week which found no correlation between regular users of ayahuasca and neurological dysfunction. The study, which was carried out by a Spanish and Brazilian team, led by psychologist José Carlos Borso, looked at various aspects of mental health for 127 people who have used ayahuasca at least every 2 months for the past 15 years, and compared them to 115 non-users. The study concluded that there was no evidence of psychological maladjustment, mental health deterioration, or cognitive impairment in the ayahuasca using group. Dr. Borso has suggested that future studies should look at those who have used ayahuasca in the past but stopped due to psychological issues to see if there is a correlation there. A link to the article can be found at insychedelia.podomatic.com and the Facebook group. This is Slinky with Hello.
Thank you.
Drug law in Australia, and the information about the vast number of substances categorised under this colloquialism, is mostly administered from the Department of Health and Ageing. The National Drugs Campaign is the title of the government's official information campaign, and you can find it at drugs.health.gov.au. Visit the website and you will be met by a foreboding dark page with easy access to basic information on a variety of popular substances. Each section highlights various aspects of the substance, but particularly focuses on the negatives, including some that I've never or very, very rarely heard reported in my time speaking with people and reading about people's experiences. This is not uncommon of government drug information in the age of the war on drugs. The campaigns are often simplified and reminiscent of something you'd receive in primary school to warn you not to hop in a van with a strange man, even though I'm pretty sure that the prevalence of that is pretty much never. But the point is to get children to be careful. So what's the message here? Well, first and foremost, each substance listed is illegal. And just for your information, you are not meant to partake in illegal activities. There has also been a fairly consistent tirade of misinformation aimed at these substances, ranging from the absurd campaigns against marijuana in the earlier half of the 20th century, to a wide and varying range of myths and legends about people who tried something and ended up nuts for life. Ever heard of the guy who took LSD, thought he was a glass of orange juice and couldn't bend over again for fear he'd pour out? Taking a step back, I'd like to make it clear that I am well aware that these substances do come with problems sometimes. And if you know someone, or you yourself, are worried you have a problem with something, then speak to someone about it. See a doctor, and remember that you can and should share your story so others might learn. But the vast majority of us don't develop serious problems. The renewed scientific research into how these substances work, what they might be useful for, and how to use them safely and prosperously is showing many positive results. But still, the government campaigns and their backing laws speak a rhetoric that seems further and further from the truth. But what are these laws? In Australia, the main act that controls not only the various illicit substances listed in the National Drugs Campaign, but just about every psychoactive substance, stimulant, steroid, poison, and chemical that does something, is called the Drugs, Poisons, and Controlled Substances Act of 1981. This act refers to the Poisons Code, which is administered by the Therapeutic Goods Administration and outlined in the Poison Standard of 2012. The Act details how the substances are controlled, how the poisons code is formed, who is in charge of what departments, who to speak to about the code, licenses, permits and warrants, what to do in public health emergencies, how things can be manufactured, what the penalties are for breaking the law, and a special section on controlling the illicit drugs. All substances can be found in the Standard for the Uniform Scheduling of Medicines and Poisons, or also known as the Poison Standard of 2012. There are 9 categories which substances fall under, known as schedules. Schedule 1 is not in use. Schedule 2 is pharmacy medicine. 3 is pharmacist-only medicine. 4 is prescription-only medicine or prescription animal remedy. 4 is prescription-only medicine or prescription animal remedy. 5 is caution. 6 is poison. 7 is dangerous poison. 8 is controlled drug. And 9 is prohibited substance. It is the last two schedules that are most interesting. Schedule 8, controlled drug, is substances which should be available for use but require restriction of manufacture, supply, distribution, possession, and use to reduce abuse, misuse, and physical or psychological dependence. This schedule includes most opiate derivatives, ketamine, cocaine, amphetamine, and methamphetamine. Schedule 9 prohibited substances are substances which may be abused or misused and are fully prohibited unless used for medical or scientific research, analytical, teaching, or training purposes with the approval of government bodies. This extensive schedule includes cannabis, coca leaf, most of US chemist Alexander Shulgin's phenethylamine substances, known as 2CX, MDMA, DMT, heroin, GHB, LSD, salvinorin, muscimol, PCP, psilocybin, salvia divinorum, and most recently, synthetic cannabinomimetics, among many others. The code defines its principles by being rather vague, noting that some reasons for classification are purpose of use, potential for abuse, safety in use, and the need for the substance. Without boring you with too much detail, which you can do for yourself by going to encyclopedia.podomatic.com or the Facebook page, it seems already that the code is at odds with the perceptions of the vast majority of people who use and study these substances. There is no doubt that some sort of regulation is appropriate, just as I'm sure you're becoming aware that some sort of regulation is probably appropriate for things like junk food or energy drinks. But the question that is often missed in public debate is, what is the appropriate form of regulation? What has worked in the past? What is possible to police? And what business does the government have in a person's state of consciousness? These are all big questions to think about and discuss, but that is exactly what we should be doing. This is Encyclopedia, Wildcard with his remix of AMB, Spanniscan.
Carry you until you start to travel and break through. I make do with the materials at hand, some remix stems and a mind that's willing to expand to a flavor from abroad, a broad range of sound waves, more for the jazz heads than the hardcore underground raves. Now watch the ground break as we take flight. My aim's tight, I'm brave, right? No chance of stage fright. Now let these thoughts entertain the way. I'll bring you out of a gloomy place. Wildcard is here to save the day. All of the rain is strayed, and now I'm speaking clearly, making bass notes shake those floorboards so your feet can hear me. Now this is how I sway to Spanish. They think it's black magic, man. They wanna send me off to Azkaban. I'm not delusional, I swear it happened, man. Right after the CIA tried to take me away in their panel van, I thought I had a plan, but it was flawless, so it fell through. I had something to tell you, but now I've lost it. Still I'm relaxed, chilling with my head cocked back. What's that? Sure, why not? I'll have a cognac. Sometimes my mind wanders off track. Oops, I didn't mean to break the contact. I'm here to make you shake your tassels with no stress. So welcome to my world where nothing is hopeless.
Now let these thoughts entertain your hips and give you curiosity like a stranger's lips. Don't raise your fists, it's the kind of track to make you click your fingers. Even after the show, the atmosphere lingers. So now relinquish this feast of sound and let the melody worry about where your feet are bound. It's so good when I'm sitting behind the driver's seat. My mind has cruise control and subconscious the way that I ride the beat. Now if you wanna go and take a ride with me, never mention that song unless you're speaking in tones of irony. Like playing the elephant walk on a piano with keys that are made out of ivory. I'm not always as politically correct as I'd like to be, but at least my star's flying in its own direction until I'm looking down on the peaks of perfection. But even then, yo, we can always improve. Now I wanna see you bounce, act staunch when you move.
Recently spoke with a friend of mine who I often disagree with on many points, especially to do with politics and governance. We had a quick chat on Skype about how we view the current drug laws.
Look, the way I see it is like this. The Australian Health Minister has publicly said that were tobacco to be introduced into the market today, it would be illegal. It's more than just simply a question of principle. Some drugs are good, some drugs are worse, and we have to make sure that we're consistent so the worst drugs are illegal. There's also a question of what we can physically do, what we can physically enforce. And the government has to take this stuff into account when it's trying to remove illicit substance, dangerous substances from the reach of the public.
The Australian government is... apart from having some of the stricter laws in the Western world, they're also more likely to give you more objective information. Not saying that they always do, but they're usually pretty good at it. But it doesn't actually correlate with the restrictive legislation that we have. I mean, there are plenty of products that are legal that you can consume, which are more dangerous than these substances. So
yes, this has been freely admitted by the Australian government, and it's because there's a question of what can be physically done. Take cigarettes, for example. I mean, if we say to ourselves, all right, we admit and we understand, and essentially everybody does, that cigarettes are significantly more dangerous than marijuana is. Now, what can the Australian government do about this? It can take one perspective and say, well, for the sake of consistency, we must legalize everything that is less dangerous than cigarettes. Or we can say we're slowly heading towards the legalization of cigarettes and their elimination from the market. And we're doing this by slowly increasing the taxation on them, which has been done every year for the past maybe 10 years, by making it more difficult for them to advertise. As you know, we've just beat them in court, making them remove the logos from their packages, making the color look like a disgusting olive.
Yeah, removing their branding.
Yeah, so the government is trying to avoid, and we're doing a similar thing with alcohol, mind you, just it's taking much slower because we're dealing with a much, much more powerful business. And we're also dealing with a situation where a lot of the public partakes in this.
Where it might be appropriate to regulate, is it appropriate to make it illegal where there is still a demand for a product, though? And, I mean, we see statistics.
Yes, of course there is. Of course there is. Simply because there's a demand for a product doesn't mean it should be available to the public. A sort of public interest test needs to be done in the head of the policymaker. So think about it like this. Guns, maybe there's a demand for them. I know there is. But this does not mean that it's in the best interest of Australia to get people to allow people to get their hands on them. Hang on.
Because that analogy is an interesting one, because I think that a lot of people would use a similar analogy, but I can't think of many other analogies that you could make toward things that drugs are not going to kill somebody else. If I take a drug, the only person I am harming is myself. If I react in a bad way, then I haven't been responsible for myself. When we start socializing responsibility, when we start saying I'm not responsible, it was the drugs that made me do it, we're going down a slippery path.
No. We're not going down any sort of slippery slope. What is being addressed here is a situation where the health of citizens is being put at risk, and whether or not this is because of those citizens or because of decisions they've made is of relevance, but it's not the sort of relevance that's total and binding, if you will. Now, the way I see it, the job of the government, as a general rule, is to care for the well-being of the citizens where the market can't, if you will. So one way to look at this is, if we have a situation where there's a certain substance that's out there and people are taking it because there's commercials getting people to take it and because there is misinformation about it, like cigarettes was in the 70s or 80s, then the government can take action in order to restrict the amount of bad information that is out there. It can take action into making sure that the drug doesn't reach the most vulnerable members of society, and this is what is being done, and this is what's being attempted to do. That's why we're trying to deal with this.
This will be a final question, because we've run out of time. But I think what it comes down to is, does the government have a right to tell you what you can and can't do with your body, or does the government? Is it the government's responsibility to try and make sure that you have the best information possible so that you can make that decision, that educated decision, for yourself?
I think that the former, if I had to choose between the two options and not elaborate on them, then the former would have to be the choice that I would go with, because whether or not we're happy with it or not, having a government that makes decisions and assists people either by completely limiting some of their choices or by giving them incentives to make better decisions in some areas is safer for the population than simply allowing the citizens to make their own decisions in their own private life, their own limited scopes and information.
Thank you.
Thank you to this week's contributors, and to Sound Colorification Man Signal Loop. For more details on each contributor, including information on where to buy an album for those that have released them, check the website. If you want to contribute something, contact me by leaving a comment at encyclopedia.podomatic.com, on the Facebook group, or directly if you have my contact details. The most important thing is, don't think that what you have to say or contribute isn't good enough or not interesting enough. You'd be surprised who's interested in what you have to say, and I'm happy to help you with any details or to record your piece. Don't worry if all you have is a laptop or phone to record on. The important part is the contribution. Through collaboration, we understand each other better, and through continued discussion, we progress. This is In Psychedelia.